Freedom and Covenant, Reflections on the Distinctive Values and Practices of the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, by Robert D. Cordwell. This recording has been made with permission from the author for New Disciples of Cedar Rapids Disciple Group titled Pathways. Introduction. The religious movement that gave birth to the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, burst forth on the American frontier early in the 19th century. This fact is important if we are to understand the story of who the disciples are and what they value. What has come to be known as the Stone-Campbell movement was marked from the beginning by a frontier ethos of freedom, anti-institutionalism, and individualism. You might say that this is a denominational tradition with a libertarian streak. In addition to its frontier ethos, the movement has been marked by its roots in the Reformed tradition, for the founders of the movement were first Presbyterians before taking the steps that led to the creation of a new American religious movement. While disciples are heirs of the Reformed tradition, they, along with the other two major branches of the Stone-Campbell movement, are marked by their points of resistance. This is especially true regarding demands for doctrinal conformity. As a result, disciples take pride in being a non-creedal tradition. The Stone-Campbell movement, of which the disciples are but one branch, saw itself as an attempt at re-envisioning Christianity for a new century, the 19th century. Freed from the bonds of inherited tradition, it would chart a new course that would unite Christians everywhere in an evangelistic mission that would touch the world. The foundation for this effort was to be found in the pages of the New Testament. Freedom, unity, evangelism, and restorationism would be hallmarks of this new movement. Two important events served to form the identity of the Stone-Campbell movement. The first event was Barton Stone's participation in the Cane Ridge Revival of 1801, along with his subsequent break from the Presbyterian Church over theological differences. Secondly, the Scottish Presbyterian minister Thomas Campbell issued the Declaration and Address in 1809, in which he laid out his vision of a movement of unity among Christians. The first event links the movement to the outbreak of the Second Great Awakening, putting the movement in the middle of an effort to evangelize the new nation. The second served as a call to unity among Christians in the service of this task of evangelization. By leaving behind outworn beliefs and practices, these pioneer reformers believed the church would be more effective in reaching the large numbers living outside the bounds of the church. In other words, the why of this new movement of reform was evangelism. Living on the frontier of a new nation, the founders of this movement sought to make the Christian message relevant to a new age. Much has changed since the early 19th century, but in many ways the disciples continue to be a frontier people. Freed from the encumbrances of rigid traditions and rules, frontier people must adapt to their surroundings, making do with what they have at their disposal. Even if the Christian Church Disciples of Christ that exists today has become fully integrated into mainstream denominational Protestant Christianity, it is marked by unease with hierarchy, rigid traditions, and cumbersome rules. In theory, this is a denominational tradition built for an age when growing numbers of people are questioning the value of institutional religion. As a Christian community, disciples trace their heritage to the reforming impulses of several figures, all of whom came out of the Presbyterian tradition. Three were immigrants and one was frontier born. They include Thomas Campbell, 1763 to 1854, his son Alexander, 1788 to 1866, Barton Stone, 1772 to 1844, and Walter Scott, 1796 to 1861. Although all four men began their ministries as Presbyterians, they chose to strike out in pursuit of Christian unity, hoping that their efforts would bring unity to the churches, and out of that, the evangelization of the world. Indeed, all four men were committed to uniting Protestant churches in the United States along biblical principles that God's kingdom might be established on earth. That same impulse remains at the center of the tradition, as is seen in the denominational mission statement, "We're a movement of wholeness in a fragmented world." As a pastor of disciples' churches, I have come to believe that it is important that we gain a clear understanding of our ethos and values as a denomination. With that in mind, I offered a series of sermons at First Christian Church of Santa Barbara that lifted up what I considered to be the core values of our tradition. I chose to repeat this effort in each of the two congregations I later served as a pastor. In this book, I seek to share the essence of those efforts, though in expanded form, in the hope that other disciples' congregations might have the opportunity to reflect on our common values and practices in pursuit of the upward call of God. What I am sharing are, you might say, what I believe to be the pillars of our common tradition. In the course of creating this book, the ideals first shared in these sermons have been revised and expanded. My hope is that in reading this book and discussing it together as congregations, both lifelong disciples and inquirers into the disciples' tradition will discover what it means to be a disciple. By understanding our identity as a community of faith, we can catch the vision, the why, that undergirds the existence of disciples' congregations. Likewise, my hope is that those of us who belong to these congregations might better understand how belonging to these communities contributes to our journey as followers of Jesus Christ in the 21st century. In seeking to understand our denominational identity, it is important that we, as disciples, acknowledge our tendency to see the world and the Christian faith in an ahistorical fashion. That is, our restorationist impulses, wanting to return to the earliest, supposedly pristine era of the tradition, have at times blinded us to the resources that the traditions of historic Christianity can bring to our faith journey. This tendency is, in my mind, as a church historian, unfortunate. Our ahistorical attitudes have also impeded our appreciation of our own Stone Campbell history and the resources present in it. If we are to face the future with both confidence and with humility, it will be important, indeed essential, that we reclaim our identity, an identity that has not been forged by those who went before us. This 6-week sermon series, upon which much of this book is based, was inspired by my reading of Mark's Thematic History of the Disciples, Joined in Discipleship, The Shaping of Contemporary Disciples' Identity, published by Chalice in 1997. It should be consulted for a deeper understanding of the disciple ethos and tradition. As a body of people who are free in Christ, I have discerned 6 core values or principles that define the movement we call the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ. Understanding these values can help guide us as we move into the future. It is my hope that the reader will find these words beneficial in understanding who the Christian Church, Disciples of Christ is, knowing that we are truly a product of our history. By understanding the history and theology of the movement, we will be in a better position to reclaim our identity as a movement of reform and unity and become the people God has called us to be.